I'd like to ask you all a question. Is your life hard? I tell you what, mine sure is. To give you an example, last evening as I was preparing my notes for this message, the air conditioning in my house was so cold that I had to put on my Patagonia sweater that I bought when I was on vacation once in the mountains where I like to go every other year. It was that cold in my house because the air conditioning was so cranked up. I got here early, a whole hour early. It was, could have been sleeping with that extra time. And the paid time off that I'm taking from work for today, this holy day, and for the remaining fall holy days will only leave me with about 4 extra days of paid time off that I'll be able to take afterwards. And if I need to take any other time off than that, I might actually have to not work and not get paid for it. It's difficult, these challenges I face. I tell you, it sure is hard living my life. Actually, it's not hard at all. I think you hopefully have picked up on the sarcasm. I don't know if sarcasm's the right word for it, but I did pick out a few ridiculous complaints to share to make a point. And that is that, relatively speaking, a lot of our hardships right now really aren't all that bad. I don't want to diminish a lot of the real hard trials that many of us face. That's not my point. But I do want to share the fact that we do live in relative luxury compared with a lot of the world, and that has a lot to do with the blessings that we've received from God. There's no doubt about that. But the future of prophecy gives us a glimpse into some very difficult times that will face the earth, will face and have an effect on everybody, you and I included. This Feast of Trumpets, as we get started, is a reminder of the great calamity that will abound on the earth just at the point in time when Jesus Christ returns. And with that in mind, I wanted to reflect on the comfort that we have now and the think about our challenges that we face and think about the future, but also given the hardships that we really face in life and the uncertainty and the difficulty and the trials that we all actually do face and will face even more so in the future, I wanted to find out what we can do about it. What do we do when we face those difficulties? Now, the answer involves keeping faith. I want to share a story with you today about Gideon. The title of my sermonette today is Gideon's Faith. His story is one of my favorites, and I hope that you'll see why. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and read verses 32. I think it begins in 32. My notes are a little bit off here. Hebrews 11 is definitely where it is, so if you want to make your way there, I'll give you the opening scripture in a moment. Yes, and we'll begin in verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens." There are several circumstances that are mentioned here. Gideon is mentioned among several other faithful people. And what did these people face? Did they have problems where their air conditioning was turned up too high, or that they were going to run out of paid time off? Not really. They faced fierce lions. They faced real violence, threats of death. They faced innumerable armies that were threatening their very existence. That's what these people were facing. And what is the one thing that is mentioned that helped them through that? These horrible things. Faith. Faith is the thing that provided the means of overcoming these problems. And that little thing called faith is something that is within the reach of each one of us. It has the power to turn back armies, but also gives us the power to endure the challenges that we have today, to endure suffering, loss, agony, struggle. Faith is what we can use. It's so powerful that it can turn back armies. How much greater can we put it into place to overcome the challenges that we have today? So let's read about the story of Gideon. We'll spend the rest of the time today that I'm speaking in the book of Judges. Let's start in Judges 6. And I would like to read verses 11 through 18. This gives us a bit of an opening story, the preview of what's going on in Gideon's life at this point in time. Judges 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring up my offering and set it before you." So Gideon, in this opening scene here, is extremely afraid of the Midianites. He's so afraid that he's actually hiding the work that he's doing from them. So he's not discovered. He's just afraid of, you know, something being taken, or some problem occurring, because he might be threshing wheat in the open. He has doubts when this instruction is given to him about leading Israel against the Midianites and overcoming them. And he has doubts because of the evidence that he sees. He sees his people subdued by the Midianites. He doesn't see the miracles and manifest support from God. He feels forsaken, and he even uses that word. Yet he is told that he will be instrumental in saving a whole country, a whole nation, Israel, from the hands of the Midianites, these powerful people who have had them subdued. Could you imagine being in that position? It boggles the mind, frankly, to think of that. And, you know, it's no surprise here, but Gideon is in a position where he doesn't really believe it. Even his clan in Israel is the weakest, and he was the least in his father's house. How can this little man, I don't know how little he actually was physically, but, you know, given the circumstances, they were stacked against him. Yet this angel of the Lord was brought to him, reassuring him. But still, Gideon sought a sign. We may find ourselves in a similar situation in life, being in a position where we have promises that have been offered to us, where the results might not be what we exactly expect. What do we do when we experience that kind of doubt? So what does Gideon do in this case? Sometimes you get what you ask for. He, you know, is going to bring out this offering, and he brought it out, and the angel caused fire to come down and consume it as that sign that he was seeking. And Gideon was convinced that this was, afterwards, a messenger from God. So he's, you know, emboldened by that a little bit. And having been convinced, the angel makes another request to him. Let's look at Judges 6, 25 and, through 27. Judges 6, 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord, your God, on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So he's kind of strengthened, right? He's got this, you know, instruction. He commits to doing it, though. And that's the point. He responds in a very human way. He has some hesitation, some fear. He might not feel as bold as God would have strengthened him to be. So he does this instruction by night, but he still tears down that altar of Baal. Faithful that God would want this, that he is strengthening him. Yet there is a result from this. Following this story, there's a huge army of Midianites and Amalekites, in fact, that assemble against Manasseh in the valley of Jezreel, just outside where they live. So, you know, he's torn down this altar, and he's reaping the consequences of this army being assembled against him. So you can imagine the fear that he feels, but still he remains faithful. So Gideon blows on the trumpet, sends messengers to assemble his own army. And about 32,000 people show up, quite a few. That's a lot of people. And throughout the set of scriptures that I will not read today, we can read that about 2/3 of those people were afraid, so they turned back. And that number was still too great, so that was cut down to about 300 people. That's about 1% of the army that Gideon originally had. Yet, with this tiny army being the, you know, least in his family and the least in the smallest clan of Israel, Gideon still believed that God was behind his effort, and he did not turn back. Let's read Judges 7, 16 through 22. Make sure it's right. Yep. Judges 7, 16. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow on the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, that's in the middle of the night, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 men blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against the companion throughout the whole camp. There was mass confusion. And the army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Teba. By God, excuse me. By God's blessing, the huge army was defeated with just 300 men. Because Gideon had the faith to carry through, given the immeasurable circumstances that he had against him. Gideon's army didn't have to do any fighting. They didn't have to raise a weapon. Gideon's faith was an essential component to this defeat. Without it, this would not have happened. This story would not be here to inspire us. This story should give us tremendous encouragement. The difficulty that Gideon faced tested his faith tremendously. His initial response is something that we might be able to relate to, a fear of uncertainty, even skepticism. But he didn't give up his faith in committing to do what he was called to do. His faith is here for us as an example to be inspired by.